The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Due to a shortage of special needs carers following the pandemic, my next guest's daughter has been left without a carer for 3 months now. She's with me in studio, DCU student of law and history and mother of Sky, Georgina Grogan. Georgina, good morning and welcome.
It's Georgia, sorry.
Georgia. It says Georgia here and I called you Georgina.
Which is fine. Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Now, Georgia, tell us, first of all, about your own history. When did you start college?
I started college back in 2020. In September of 2020.
Okay, so what year are you in now?
I had to defer a year, so I'm in my second year now.
In your second year, yeah. So you have another couple of years to go, presumably.
Next year will be my last year.
Will be your last year.
Yeah.
So tell me about your daughter, Sky, and what kind of dependence she is undergoing at the moment, because she does need a lot of help.
Yeah, she does indeed. Sky went 4 in September, at the end of September. She is great. She's bubbly. She's very social. She's happy most of the time, but physically she's very dependent on me. Cognitively, she is aware of a lot, but is nonverbal. She can't sit up yet. She is a full-time wheelchair user. She doesn't use her hands, so she needs help with everything, eating, feeding, self-care.
So high dependence.
High dependency, yes.
Now, what help did you have?
So we had 32 hours of home care from the HSE. For about a year, a little bit over a year. So that kind of, I was able to help, have help with things like physio, things like that would be quite hard to do on my own as she's heavy. And I usually used to split them up over a Monday to Friday because it is quite hard to get care on the weekends anyway.
So talk to me about your day. Before the shortage of carers came into effect, what was your day like trying to go to college and also help Sky?
Well, Sky was in shorter school days back then as well. So she used to get home at about 12:30. So I'd get up at about 7, get her ready for her school bus. Her school bus would come. It was different back then because we were like remotely studying. So yeah. It was a lot easier to kind of have classes from home. So I would just attend my classes. In between, I would eat, clean, read some notes, just tend to normal day-to-day things. And then when she came home from school, the carer would typically be there. She'd help me prepare lunch and get dinner ready for later on. We'd do some physio and make sure her meds were out and ready for me to give them to her. And just help me to wash her, to keep her happy. We might bring her on a walk. Just things like that. Yeah.
Now, in herself, Sky, is she a happy child? You mentioned she's bubbly, but most of the time, I mean, does she need to be entertained or can she entertain herself?
No, she does need to be entertained. What I've noticed lately is because it is just myself and her at home at the minute, she doesn't seem to be too happy with me. I don't think I'm giving her
enough attention.
At the end of the day, I'm only one person, so I can only do so much at the same time. I notice that she seems to be a lot happier in school now than she is at home with me because I don't think I'm stimulating her enough at the minute.
Now, what kind of a school does she go to?
She goes to a special school. She goes to the CRC in Clontarf, and they're fantastic.
And there would be children with similar needs to herself.
Very similar, but also there's kind of a variety, I suppose, a lot of diversity when it comes to abilities and things like that. So it's nice because Sky is very much a people person, a people watcher. So some of the kids can walk, can crawl, can talk a little bit. So she gets to watch and take it in, which I think is helping with her development as well. Yeah.
Now, you say that cognitively she's fine, but she's nonverbal.
I know that there's a lot that she understands. Like sometimes she will shake her head no and nod her head yes, but then there's times when she does it without context, so it would leave you to wonder.
But if you were to ask her a question, because she certainly hears you, about, for example, did she want food or whatever, would she respond, you know, with an understandable response?
Yes, sometimes. I think it seems like a kind of secret language between me and her and then people that know her well, which is why it's important that the people that are kind of tending to her needs know her quite well, because it could be something as simple as like a little glimmer in her eye, or she kind of just looks at you and smirks, whereas someone who doesn't know her well wouldn't actually pick up on that's her indicating to you yes or no if she makes a bit of a grumpy face.
Now, I can see with 32 hours a week, it was a huge help to you because, you know, having help with lifting her and giving massages and all of that, but as well giving you a moment to yourself when
100%.
The carer would be there.
Yeah, Yeah, 100%. I think it's been difficult to kind of adjust. I was doing really well, and I think I undermined how much of that was to do with having help at home. I thought I was just flying and I was doing so well and I was just this great, almost robotic person. But it turns out, no, I was just...
When you take that help away...
Yeah, it's a very different situation that I find myself in.
Yeah. Now, the dependence that Skye has upon you and others who may help, that's going to go on for a long time. I mean, her pace of development is slow.
Yeah, I suppose for the foreseeable future, I think it's very different when you're the parent of a child with special needs compared to when you're the parent of any other child that doesn't have any extra needs, because you don't really know what the future looks like. I've been kind of lucky. Skye has developed more than I thought she would. Originally, I was told she wouldn't, she may not smile and things like that. So this time last year, I never would have thought she'd be doing the little things that she's doing now. I feel like every small thing, every smile, every giggle, every nod of the head is a massive accomplishment for the two of us.
But you are looking at a future which involves you being deeply involved in Skye's care.
Yeah.
So you're doing your degree because you also want economic independence.
Yeah, 100%. And I think she's going to need that little things. Like, it's would be, of course, more expensive to have a child with complex needs than it would another child. Things as simple as toys or just wanted to go out to try to find places that are accessible and things like that. Trying to find places that have accessible change in facilities or just ramps. Usually kind of have to go for a venture. Even the toys, the prices would be quite shocking compared to your average toys in the likes of Smith stores.
Yeah. So the question is about your carer that you had 32 hours. How did they evaporate? Did they go and suddenly they stopped, or did you start losing hours from 30 down to 20 or whatever?
I definitely think COVID had a big impact on it. I think it's, I want to point out that it is like nationwide. It's not something that is just impacting me and me only. I think a lot of them decided to make career moves or physically move. That's kind of what happened with us. One of our carers decided to seek a new career change. So she went, and then our hours reduced to 21, and we were dealing with 21 hours for a couple of months. And then, which I knew our carer, the one that we had, she decided to move abroad. So she moved abroad in August, and we've kind of just been on our own since then.
Now, what are the HSEs saying to you? Because clearly, if they gave you 32 hours, you were entitled to 32 hours. What were they saying to you then as more and more care was withdrawn?
Nothing really. The awkward thing is you're kind of, your hours are picked up by an agency. So you're kind of in a position where you're supposed to talk to the agency, and the agency can't offer carers because for whatever reason they don't have them. So it goes back to the HSE then. It was a bit of an awkward thing as well, because the HSE weren't aware for a while that the hours weren't being used, because apparently on paper they were being used, but I wasn't getting them. So I had to make the HSE aware of all of this. And I think anybody who's had to reach out to the HSE in regards to care for children in particular knows that it's not easy, because you don't actually know who you're supposed to talk to. So now I'm kind of in a situation where they're looking at respite, but there's not a lot of facilities for children under the age of 6 and children in general. I think when we talk about home care, typically a lot of people focus on care of the elderly, whereas that's not dealt with by the same department of the HSE for care of children.
Care of children. When they talk about respite, what sort of respite are they offering? Is it just a week at a time?
They're not exactly offering it. They've just told me of quite new facilities. Apparently there's a facility in North Dublin, so I think it would be like a couple of hours after school and things like that, but they don't take kids under 6. And I also, that's not what I want. Like, I
but
want her to be in
the
comfort.
That's not really respite, you know. A couple of hours is not a respite for you. I can understand. I always understood respite, maybe you'd have a week just to kind of recover and then get going again, rather than a couple of hours.
Yeah, I guess I'm not going to turn my nose up at anything at this point. Sure. I think any parent in my position would be very grateful for any kind of help. I think it is nice to have a bit of respite that's outside of the home, once you know that they're safe and you know where they are and you can kind of trust the people that they're going to. But the big thing is, when it's day to day, you want your child to be in the comfort of their own home, where all their things are and they're comfortable with their surroundings, especially a child with complex needs. Like, they thrive on routine.
Do you have any kind of network of support, pals or family who can actually, that you trust to come into your home and give you a break?
Like my mom and siblings and that, they're all in County Louth. So no, I don't have anybody in Dublin to help, to be honest. Friends are great, like for an emotional support, I suppose. And sometimes they might watch her and let me have a quick nap and things like that. But she, there's a lot she needs. Like there's medication and friends, especially like I'm young, I'm 23. Some of my friends are 21, 22. That makes them very, very nervous.
Sure. No experience.
Of course. I mean, I, of course, had no experience either before I was kind of thrown into this life.
You don't appear to be kind of resentful for the lot that life has thrown at you at all.
I'm not resentful. I mean, how could you? I feel like it could, I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but it could happen. It could happen to anyone. I think I'm more so just a bit deflated with it all at this point. And it's sad. It's sad that there's not a lot of supports. I didn't know anything about accessibility or inclusion until I was met face to face in it. And now every time I leave the house, I think, oh, I could never take Skye here, or I could never get her in this doorway. And I'm kind of met with it day to day, whether she's with me or she's not. So it's sad more so than it makes me angry.
How are you working out in college now? Because you're trying to do a degree, and you know, when you come home, where's the time to kind of do the academic stuff?
I try to squish everything into my mornings when she's in school, which is not, to be honest, it's not working out too well for me at the minute because we are all on campus. Things aren't recorded at the minute, which is making it harder. I'm missing a lot of classes, which is making it hard for me to stay up to date with things. I try to do as much as I possibly can from the time she goes off in her school bus at about 7:45 in the morning until she gets home at about 3, like 3:30 sometimes. And then once she comes home, I have to focus on her. And then when she goes to bed at about 7:30, I try to get back to it. Sometimes if she's extra good after she's eaten and we've done our physio and things like that, I can maybe read a little bit. And that's kind of active learning, I suppose, without, I can kind of still keep an eye on her and also an eye on my book.
Sure. Does she sleep through the night?
She used to. I've noticed a lot of changes with her since we haven't had carers as well. I think she likes to be entertained. She loves people. So I think she's noticing me being exhausted because that's kind of what I am now at this point. I think she's picking up on it and her routine has changed. She used to sleep through the night all the time and we've had some really difficult nights where she's still up at 5 a.m. and I'm trying to get up at 6 to get her ready for a bus at 7:30. So it's not very functional, to be honest.
Would she be entertained by television?
She used to as well. Not so much. I personally don't like to just sit her in front of the television.
No, but it could give you the moment that you might need to do something.
Yeah, of course. She used to, like if it was a case of me just getting her dinner ready or grabbing her a drink or measuring out her medications, she used to sit and watch it. But she's gotten very sick of things like that. She wants to... She wants to kind of be busy. She wants to be taken out on walks and kind of do all things like this. And she wants to go see people or she wants to have people over, which isn't really possible most days.
Yeah. So you've been trying to talk to the HSE to try to get help, but nothing forthcoming at the moment.
Apparently the help isn't there. I know it's kind of hard to imagine because it's been 3 months without any care, but it has been since last December where we have been down over 11 hours, which did make, I was very, very happy with 21 hours. I know this is going to sound crazy to some people who probably only get 5 or 10 a week. But they're not really saying much. They're looking at respite facilities. They want me to fill out long forms that are very emotionally draining to fill out forms when you're writing down on paper every little thing that your child can't do. Which is probably going to be a waste of my time because I know they don't accept children under 6. And I also don't want to send her away. I want her to be home. So it's kind of just a waiting game and me ringing them every second day or sending emails and not getting anything back. And I'm very lucky to have a lot of people fighting my corner as well, but nothing is coming from it.
Some of the texts coming in. This is from someone who says, my 18-year-old special needs boy, father flat out working. I had to give up work. We never had a carer. We had to get on with it. And we were told That's life. To Georgia, my wife is a carer, had a Garda vetting done 6 years ago, then 4 years ago, then 1 year ago, and is now waiting 6 weeks for a new one while the company is waiting for her to care for a person in need. Surely there's a system where the guard can look and see that she has been vetted and only look from the last vetting forward. No need to know each time that it's done. You know, the delay. There may be people out there who are willing to do this kind of work, but just can't get through the system.
I think that I can sympathise with the second person there. I've never personally been told that. I know that I have heard that from other people. I think a lot of the times is carers are leaving, and it's very concerning as a parent of a child with special needs, regardless of what age they are, because most of the times they are delayed anyway. So it doesn't matter if they're 5 or they're 15.
Yeah.
Like, you want someone who's going to come into your house and who's going to stay there for as long as possible. And I think for me personally, my opinion is working for agencies and the people that have contracts with the HSE, it's not worth their while in terms of like finances, in terms of benefits. They're working agency works. They haven't got benefits that you'd have in other
Whereas
careers.
Someone who's in the HSE and working as a carer has pensionable employment and all the rest of it, and they have the security and a career.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I can understand that personally. I probably wouldn't want to do that work either.
All right. Well, Georgia, I don't know what we can do except ventilate your case, and hopefully someone is listening who might do something for you.
I would like to probably answer what that first person texted in.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of an ignorant thing to say.
No, I think that's what she was told.
Just about...
you know, that's life. Get on with it.
Yeah, but I think I just want to point out the stark difference of being a single parent. And I know, like, if your partner is working, you may feel like a single parent, but it's not the same, because little things like having that your partner is working to provide and having that second income. I know a lot of people will think, oh, well, you shouldn't have had a kid so young, or that's fair. But life happens, and I'm dealing with it. Like people can run away, but this, I'm dealing with my responsibilities head on. And I don't think it's that much to ask that I have a little bit of help at home, regardless of whether I want to lie in bed all day and catch up on my rest, or I want to use those hours to kind of secure a future for myself and my daughter. But it's very, very different being a single parent and then being able to end your day with someone to talk to, because on top of the physical side of it, like being exhausted, just feeling like I'm not able for it, there's also the emotional side to it that you're dealing with on your own. So it's not the same when you have a partner there.
And your life has been changed utterly.
Yeah, and like it's going to be the same. Do you know, like, it's not like, oh, when they're 18, you know, they can go off on their own. It's not like, it's trying to be so young and also understand like this is it now. And then not like, it's going to get harder. She's going to get heavier. So dealing with that as well and trying to stay motivated and happy most days. So.
Yeah. And then if you were to try and form a relationship, you're looking to a partner in life to... help you with the challenge of Skye.
I think anybody in this position would kind of know it's you wouldn't want to put that on somebody. It's a lot, and I think I'm probably too emotional at the minute to bring anybody into that as well. So it's
you're an extraordinary woman, Georgia.
You.
Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance,
weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.